trap tender. They open and never closed. Is his voice still speaking?
Yes.
And is he still ministering?
No.
I had a thought. So we've been talking about Jesus, the prototype of what he called the house of God, and then handed off. And he became the house of God, and then handed that assignment off to us. Right? And that's when we looked at the definitions of what does it mean to be the house of God, and we realized that, again, the heavens are open over us, and that there's a conduit between us and heaven, and it's, and we're like this place in that threshold that's hooking heaven and touching earth, right? Do you remember the other? It says this is the house of God. What was the other one? Remember the gate of heaven? Remember that? What did we conclude about the gate of heaven? We talked to it. We said it was a transition place. We realized we're the ones he's handed this baton to. We're the ones that are in this transition place between those two realities. We're the ones that are like this. That's why I say we have the privilege, permission, authority to, like, it's almost, you know that scene in Back to the Future when Doc Brown's trying to reconnect the clock tower power?
Yeah.
That's you. It's like just that one who needs that thing, and you're up there like this. Come on. This is it. I'm going to connect these two realities. And remember we talked about, let's see, portal. We talked about entranceway, the gate. Well, I was thinking about this other thought, and I don't know why it didn't hit me, was God talks about another gate in Scripture, right? And so if there's a gate, if there's a gateway of heaven, you know, the Scripture also talks about a gateway of hell. Just a thought. All right. So this isn't my main verb, but I went on like mini sermon for you here. It's in Matthew 16. No, by the way, we're going to come, remember Matthew 16, because when I come back at the end, we're going to zip back to it, okay? So somebody, right, help me remember. Go back to Matthew 16 if I don't do it, right? Matthew 16, verse 13. Do you remember this? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Remember that story? Who do they say I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it goes this, he says, "Blessed are you." Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon." Simon means, by the way, one who, blessed are you, Simon, one who hears. Blessed are you, you heard. Blessed are you, hearer, right? Simon Bar-Jonah, entered Bar-Jonah's dove. I don't know, you can draw your own connection there. I think it's about his spirit. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock," oh, foundations. Ah! All right, there's something about foundations today, everybody. "And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, hell, will not prevail against it." All right, so we've seen in Scripture, he says this is none other than the gate of heaven, but now he's telling us, hey, there's another gate that's trying to, like, keep you distracted. Keep you disconnected, right? Here's interesting. The word Hades. It comes from in this context, two Greek words. One is ha, which is a negative, right? And I believe it's pronounced Ido. Angel probably knows, but it's Ido. Ha, Ido. And Ido means to see, right? So in this context, it means not
Not seen.
Not seen. It means not to see, right? So here we are, right?
What do we...
What do you suppose we're not seeing? Right? I told you probably every Sunday, we're learning to wake up to this is who he is. I'm starting to get my, oh my goodness, right? Your father. And I'm waking up to, and I am, who am I? Son, daughter, and he doesn't call me sinner. What's he call me?
Saint.
Right? He's never looked at me and said, oh, you worthless one. Oh, you troubled one. Oh, you loser. Right? Oh, you invaluable one. Quite the opposite. His statement to me is, oh, if you would just know how lovely you are. If you would just see yourself the way I see you. If you would just have this wake up to like who you are in me, you would see yourself as a son and not an orphan, right? Oh, you're lovely. If you would just see that you're ugly. You know that sin. God has an opinion of me. God has a belief about me. Sin is disagreeing with that opinion. Think about it. Sin is disagreeing with his belief about me. Sin, he says, walk in who you are. This is who you are. Sin is walking in something else, right? So the whole scripture, everything about the good news, the gospel, is that we wake up to seeing who we are. But we would have the revelation of, oh my goodness, he loves me. And we begin to see ourselves as his kids. So when he says the gates of Hades, what's he saying? He's saying that, other ways, translations when it talks about Hades is ignorance. You can see that, right? Oh, you just don't see it, right? So some translations for the word Hades is ignorant. Right? So it's like, hey, that ignorance that you don't see doesn't get a win out in your life, right? We're attaching ourselves to him, the rock, right? We're realizing it's like, this is what I was going to say hewn. Is that the right word, guys? Hewn from? It's like you're a piece off the old of the big rock. This is what I'm made of. This is my substance, right? Anyway, I just thought that was actually cool that there's the gates of that other world that's trying to get you to be confused about who you are, trying to get you to disagree with his opinion of you, trying to challenge that this is me. I love that.
Well, it's like success versus failure.
Go keep going.
He wants us to fail.
Yeah, he does, right?
He wants us to succeed. To be powerful, shining his light in our world and to others.
Oh, I like that.
He wants us to believe that we walk in life that we're failures, and everything that we do forward will be a failure, so that we won't be what God wants us to be.
Yeah.
Hey, that's really good. It says, and upon this reality, this truth, you knowing who you are,
mm-hmm.
It's on that reality that I'm going to build what?
We walk in the light of Christ.
Sure. Yeah. Tells us he's going to build something, though. What's he going to build, Mark? Just on this truth, I'm going to build my church.
His church. His church. Grow right. And bring others into
yeah.
The church.
So the word here for church is that, anybody know?
Ecclesia.
Oh, ecclesia. Do you know any much about that word?
Isn't it a legal assembly or something? Or
it's actually cooler than that.
Okay.
It is true, right? It is like an assembly. It's an assembly of shears.
Right.
okay? It's an assembly of people who know this is who I am.
Right?
So it's a gathering of people that are saying, I know who he is, I know who I am, this is my relationship.
It's awareness.
Oh, good word. It's awareness. You know, one of the root words of ekklesia is this word kaleo, which means to identify by name. It's like, I know who I am.
A family name.
It's, oh my gosh, it's like, it has to do with, I know my origins.
Right. It's your identity in Christ.
Yeah! It's like he's, the whole strength of who we are, the whole, right, is this foundation of who we are, the strength of who we are is all found in that.
Well, it's
our,
the knowledge
thereof.
That's where knowledge is power. And we're talking about ignorance before. Ignorance is lack of knowledge. Exactly.
It's on this truth. It's on that truth. He says, I'm going to build this ecclesia. Anyway, I just think that's fun. Two gates. I always thought, some of these verses I don't know what to do with sometimes, right? And I know it's always there, gates of hell will prevail. That means, I always thought, oh, that means he doesn't win. That's true. But it's like, what doesn't win? It's actually, he's always trying to confuse you in your identity, right? He's always lying to you. Anyway, that's funny. We wrapped up last week looking at, as we've been, it's like, okay, we're waking up. This is who I am. This is my purpose. This is my mission. This is my assignment. Doc Brown, right? And we're connectors. We're people that sit on this threshold between two realities, and we're appropriating kingdom reality into this one, right? And we know we have the authority to do that, right? We know we're his kids. We're royalty. We live in the king's house. We can write checks against the king's account, right? And we looked at a verse in Luke last week where it's like, where it says the prophets and some of the greats that we celebrate in the Old Testament were just considering, wondering, amazing at the day would come of those who would walk with that revelation. They didn't have it, but they knew prophetically this revelation was coming. It's like, so they're sitting amazed, and they're, who are they amazed at? Us, you, me. It's like, whoa, those are the ones, those are the carriers, those are the ones he's inhabiting, those are the ones who his fullness is in them, those are the ones. Oh man, we were picking a movie out on Friday after work, and maybe you do something like this. Darla will say, Danny, find me a movie, right? Which means I get on Netflix, I get on Hulu, I get on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, or I'll call Don, hey, Adam gave me a list. Here, watch these. I don't take Justin's list. He's sorry, Justin. Here's the trailers, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'll say, here, I picked out three, I think. You choose, and she'll play, and she's got my phone out before we put it on the TV. It's like, and watches the trailer. What's the problem with watching the trailer?
All the good parts.
All the good parts are in the trailer. Or it's like you're watching a comedy. Oh, this looks hilarious. And you realize that every funny thing was in that trailer. It's like, wow, what a letdown. It's like, Kingdom of God isn't like that. It's like, it's not a letdown. In fact, that's what I told you last week. The verse, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, because it's like, he's like, as you get just a glimpse of him, as you get just a taste of what he's doing, as you, it's like, you see the testimony of somebody being healed,
Well, or one of the things comes to mind is Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Sure.
I mean, if he's in me, then glory is there.
Come on, right? And we've been talking about glory, right? Because we're glory people. We're glory carriers. We're like, and what do we know about it? What does he tell us about our glory influence, our glory presence?
Glory to
glory. Glory to glory, right? It's like, here's what happens as I begin to agree with his opinion of me, and who knows it, that's our life journey.
But people will see that glory, and they want it.
Yeah! And actually, I see it, and I want more. And I tasted it, and I want more. And you get these little hooks. That's why it's so important. When you get somebody around you that begins to get discouraged, labor with it, because it's like just begin to pour gas on their coals, blow on their coals, celebrate, you know, the embers, right? And enjoy the goodness. And we always tell people, find it. There's good every day. Find it. Acknowledge it. Say it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Just positive reinforcement.
I mean everything too, though, Mark. Like, whoa! Isn't this the greatest morning? You know, wow! Isn't this amazing today? Oh my gosh! You have a beautiful smile. I love your smile today. I mean, just begin to release these things, because what are we doing? We're like, it's almost like we're giving them a little bit of a taste. You know, the natural, we're hungry, so we eat, and it's like my hunger goes away. In his kingdom, it's like I have to have more, right? It's that scene, and to me, it's that scene in Revelation with the elders down again. It's like they're constantly. It's like there's, oh my gosh, there's more. Oh my gosh, there's more. Oh my God, did you see that? It's like this revelation of how it's just, oh my goodness. It's like he's so great. He's so large. He's so beyond anything I could ever hope of. It's like he's bigger than my imagination. It's like I dreamed of this, and it's bigger than my dream. And then we just, it's like as we taste it, it like invites you into this journey of the more. And I was taste and see. That's why I enjoy presence, by the way. That's why I enjoy laboring in worship. That's why I enjoy just kind of hanging out with Lisi and Justin and Dave and Adam. It's just like, come on, I feel like, ever feel like there's like wind in your sails in worship, or it's like maybe you get that feeling on your body, like, oh my gosh, it's so fierce. What do I do? Do I get on my face? Do I get on my knees? Do I stand? Do I just close my eyes and go, ah, right? It's like, I just want more. And it's sad that sometimes we get satisfied.
Complacent.
That's a better word. We get complacent. We go, oh, or for me, Mark, it was something like, oh yeah, I get it. Been there. And
being in this war is an addiction. It's a positive addiction.
It should be, right? I was with a pastor, teacher, friend this week, and he's a wonderful man and just loves the theology, loves the deep study, loves the pen. And he's always too deep for me. It's like, I enjoy it, but it's like, I would rather just hang out with him sometimes. It's like, I don't need the big words. And sometimes I wonder, it's like, I appreciated the information of it all, but it seemed to lack intimacy. It seemed to lack relationship. It seemed to lack, like,
into easy.
Yeah, right? Like the personal encounter, that thing of just, that you know.
But nobody knows us better than God.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Really, I mean, he knows everything about us. And that's one of the things that you have to release and not be afraid to.
Paul told the Corinthian church, I think it was the Corinthian church, be careful about keeping me all up here. Right? He says, in fact, what he said was, be careful, this puffs up. And he says, but what is it that builds? Remember what Paul told him? Knowledge puffs up, But what is it that builds and edifies? Love. Paul said, the knowledge plus what love edifies. And so he's inviting them into the encounter. Because I think we're part of knowing who we are, part of enjoying the encounter and the pursuit of more, part of realizing our assignment, right? We're connectors between two realities. You're the gateways, he said. As it says, you are the house of God. You're the one, an inhabitant. You're that gateway. The ecclesia is all you gateways, all you houses of God who are holding the fullness of Him, right?
It was a distributed network.
Oh, there you go. He's geeking out on you right there. So, dude, we're going to get back to Matthew 16.
There's still.
Huh?
I've been doing some reading.
Do you remember in Matthew 15? Because I'll set it up. So part of our journey is that the prophet said, "Wow, I'm jealous of you guys, you household people, you carriers of His presence. We long for that." We said, wow, I know my assignment. I know what I'm supposed to be about. But sometimes it's like we're missing our season because we're waiting for something. It's like we're waiting for someone to say, step in. We're waiting for someone, okay, you're up. Or, that's okay, Becky's got it, right? And we still sit out a bit. We can know these things, we can even have some revelation of them, but it's like there's still something causing us to pause and realize this is our season, this is the moment, this is the thing that they're celebrating and enjoying. It's you right now in this season, in Ridgecrest 2020, this is what he's talking about. But in Matthew 15, 16 was where we said, that gate of unbelief, that gate of not seeing who you are, doesn't win. It's going to challenge you, but it doesn't win. That it's on you, right? You're built from this rock. This is your identity. This is who you are, and this is what you're going to walk in, right? And 15, there's a scene with Jesus. He's in a region. It says that a woman from Cana, I'll streamline it just for time, but a woman from Cana comes up and says to him, have mercy on me. Oh Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. Remember that story? And you know what the disciples wanted to do? Send her away. It's like the disciples wanted to send her away because she's like crying. They were like more bothered by her crying out for them. Like, hey, we have an assignment. What are you doing? You're messing with our assignment. And it comes to this conclusion where her hunger, her passion for him, it's like, I know you're the one. I know you're the one who can control. Healer, you're the one. You just have to say a word. And it's Jesus who says, wow, I've never seen faith like this. Almost like the story of the centurion. It's like, I've never seen faith like this. And he says, let it be just as you desire. And it says her daughter was healed that very hour. Then it says that, as Matthew 15 goes on, it says, so that now they're bringing to him the lame, the blind, the mutes, right? So all those that are sick, all those that are hurting, he says that they brought them all to him. And he says, and every one of them they presented at Jesus' feet. And you know what it says about how many he healed? Healed them all, right? So here are these disciples, like, here are the ignorant ones, the unseers, are starting to go, what?
The epiphanies.
It's like they're starting to wake up, like, what is happening here? And now he's healing all of them. Then it says that the crowds are big. So now Jesus has compassion on them. And remember the story of the bread and the fish? Mm-hmm. Right, so this is that. Right? So now he feeds them with the little boy's lunch. Right? And so now there's the miracle of feeding the multitudes. And there's and all sorts of extra over. So now you're the unseer who's seeing now, going, so now they're getting out of the ignorant phase. They're getting out of they're starting to wake up to who they are, right? And when Jesus fed them all, he said he did it because he had so much compassion on them. Then it goes into Matthew 16, right? And then he challenges all of them around him, and he says, You know how to discern the skies. You can look at the clouds. You can look at the color of the skies, and you could interpret the weather today. But you can't discern what's happening around you. Since you're not, it's like, look what's happening. Look what's waking up inside of people, right? They're starting to see who they are, right? But one of the primary strategies of the enemy, I would say, is to make you
doubt,
make you discount this moment, make you, you know, Angel's might go to Walmart today, and it might be just for a connection, it might be for an encounter, it might be for a run-in with somebody, an old friend I haven't seen in a long time, or it might be for one of those discouraged ones. It might be somebody's hurting. I don't know, but it's like we doubt the season we're in, right? Jesus says, you guys, you can do all these things, but you're not paying attention to what's right in front of you, what I'm showing you about who you are, right? In fact, sometimes we believe, and I was kind of raised this way, hey, all those amazing encounters with God have already happened. I can read about them. And it kind of said, well, that was then, but this is now. So that was their season, right? In fact, sometimes we call, it's like, this is the good old days, and now I'm here. Right?
4 years of Bible college right there.
Right?
Yes.
I came out of seminary, and I thought, wow, I'm ready. And it's like, you know, it's like, what did that do for me? It's like, somehow anyway, we're living in the most glorious times in history right now. And the reason I say it's the most glorious time in history is because you're here right now. Your heart's being stirred. You're waking up to who I am. You're seeing more and more, this is my assignment. I'm being drawn more and more into understanding this perfect connection I have with him. But yet, so what is it that's causing me to step back? You know, it's interesting. He tells, right after he says, you guys, you're just not seeing the time. You're missing it. You're using the wrong eyes, right? You know that once he says that, it says they're trying to get away to rest, and they get in a boat, and they're going to get out to go to the other side of the lake. And here's what it says in chapter 16, verse 5. It says, now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Sorry, I think this is hilarious, because what just happened with the little boy and his lunch?
They had over 5,000, and then they had all this bread on fridge.
So here I am, I just front row seat, participated in this, and they get on the boat and went, oh no, what are we gonna do, we don't have bread. Just find out, go ahead.
They were doing what was natural for them to do, not what was right to do.
The natural.
And that was the history of Israel. They saw the parting of the Red Sea and they crossed and then they forgot. They got released from bondage, they forgot. They crossed, I mean, as soon as it happened, they forgot it. And spiritual things did not connect with them. And they were doing it right there.
Yeah.
They saw 5,000 people fed or 4,000. I mean,
yeah.
And they walked away from 12 baskets of leftovers and said, we forgot. I said, how can you forget when you just walk through it?
He tells them, he says, you know, beware of 11 of the Pharisees mm-hmm. and the Sadducees. He's basically saying, you know, they both represented a governmental system and a religious system.
Well, was the enemy creating that doubt in
their
minds because they did live in the natural?
You know, this whole time, God's, he's trying. They're it's like, oh, that they would just see who they are, right? If you would know who you are. And
well, they were living under the law too. I mean, when Jesus came, he came to fulfill his the destiny that was in the word.
Yeah.
And so that whole period of time is something really different than what we have experienced after Jesus came.
There's a in Luke, Jesus is baptized, Holy Spirit's released upon him, the heavens break open. In John chapter 1, Jesus he actually recalls that scene in Genesis 28 of the heavens being opened and the angels ascending and descending. And Jesus makes this promise. It's like, hey, the heavens opened up in his baptism and they're not closed. They're staying open, right? And his activity is constant, right? And sure. And he says, in John 1, he tells them, he says that angels, they're descending on the Son of Man, ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's interesting, I find it interesting, that Jesus, this is in John 1, he specifically identifies himself as the Son of Man, okay? The Son of Man, right? Because it... because that would have been like a paradigm shifter. That would have been a head breaker, calling himself the Son of Man. And for angels to ascend and descend on the Son of God, you would go, that makes sense. That's obvious, right? But the Son of Man, right? So when Jesus is baptized, it commenced this model for what I guess I would call the normal Christian life, right? Jesus, we used this word before, was the prototype for you, right? He's showing you how to live this way. He's showing you how to live in relationship with the Father. He's showing you how, when he says that I'm only doing what my Father's doing, I'm only saying what he's saying. And when before he goes to the cross, remember he says, oh, that they would know that just like you're in me, Father, you're in them. And all that you are is in them, right? So this is the baton handing over. And he says, oh, that you would see you yourselves as Son of Man, that you would see yourselves as the one. And when he does it, he's telling them, it's like, so here's how you operate, sons of man, under an open heaven. You position yourself in relationship to him. You position yourself in an encounter with him. You position yourself with his presence, right? And the promise is he empowers, right? We know this. He says that his empowering presence of the Holy Spirit is in you and is in me, right? And so the one who positions himself in him, who like recognizes, I sit under an open heaven, here's my confidence, just what he did for Jesus, he'll be for you. know, just what he did for Jesus, he'll do for you. In other words, the fullness of heaven's supply, the fullness of heaven's resources, which are flowing through his person, his presence, and power of the Holy Spirit, are in me, right? So he's showing you and me how to live, like, in this house, in this gateway. So I just want to encourage you. This is your season. This is your now. This is your moment, right? And anything that's calling you to challenge that or discredit that is another gate, the gate of not seeing who I am and who he is. You know, I'll stop with that. Because, you know, he talks to us in Deuteronomy about remembering what rock you're from. He talks to us in Isaiah, remember what rock you're from. He talks to us in the Gospels about the rock you're from. Right? So this morning, I would just like to say that the Holy Spirit is securing foundations today. He is securing your identity. Go ahead, Don.
Matthew 14.
14. Is that where it talks about?
No, you asked us to remind you.
Oh, yeah! Hopefully I did it in the midst of that. You're funny. He is securing foundations this morning. So just as a way of just closing, just like we did as we transitioned from worship today, we saw the pump truck back up to the house of God and release the security and the strength of his love into the foundation. This week, we just say, God, pump into our homes, pump into our hearts, pump into our houses the fullness of your love. God, we just rest on the security of who we are in you. And we say yes to the Holy Spirit. We say yes to the encounter. We say yes to your presence. We say yes to more. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Yay!